Welcome to the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Ron Jones. Our prayer is that God will use His Word to change your life and fill your heart with hope. And now, here's Ron.
Our Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be here tonight. And thank You for the safe travels that brought everybody here. Father, some that have come from a very difficult and stressful week, and it was hard to get here. Others that might have come out at a more leisurely pace, and they've been here a few days, and they're enjoying the time, and everybody else in between. Father, we come from different experiences, but we have the same need to hear from You and to pour into our marriages in a way that each union in this room grows and is healthy and is strong and brings glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for this text of Scripture that we're going to unpack over the next couple of days, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. I pray that You would give us fresh insights into it. And as we slow down our reading of it and think about it deeply and ponder the kind of love that we can grow into, I just pray that You would give us a deep, deep desire to be all that You have intended us to be, to love the way You love, as only we can do through the person of Jesus Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Amen. So, I have a new purchase that has arrived at my house within the last year. And for those of you who know me well, you know that I just love to shop. But this purchase was really not one that I was so excited to get. So I have contacts now, but I was having a hard time seeing in the mirror and getting them in, and I was having to almost kind of climb up onto my vanity to get my eyes close enough to where I could see to get my contacts in or out. So I went and I bought this handy-dandy mirror. It sits on a little stand, and on one side, it's just a regular mirror. But when you flip it over, it's three times magnification. So for a girl who cannot see to get her contacts in, that three times magnification was an amazing gift that came to my house. So I loved it, right? I loved the one times magnification because I'd look in it and go, not so bad. My wrinkle cream's working okay, and I'm doing okay, right? We'll take that same mirror and flip it over to the three times magnification, and I saw things I have never seen on my face. I was in shock. I looked in and I thought, you're kidding me. I need Botox. I need new wrinkle cream. And this is really scary when you look at that kind of magnification. Well, this weekend, I want you to think of that. I want you to take three times magnification and apply it to a verse that we've heard often. And that's 1 Corinthians 13. And when you go to a marriage ceremony and maybe even in your own, you probably heard 1 Corinthians 13 and everybody after the reading of the word shakes their head and goes, that's nice, now let's get on. But this weekend, I want you to take that scripture and let's use magnification to it, okay? So with that, let's go into reading of the word. And I think it's going to be up on the screen. And I want you guys to read out loud with me. 1 Corinthians 13. There it is. So let's read together. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, but these three, but the greatest of these is love.
So many years ago, Hollywood released a movie that I think was in that category called romantic comedy. My staff said, no, call it a rom-com. You'll be more hip that way. Okay, a rom-com. And it was titled, 10 Things I Hate About You. Now, I got to be honest with you. I saw the title, and it didn't draw me in. In fact, it did just the opposite. I said, you know, who was in the room when they came up with a title like that? 10 Things I Hate About You. Maybe it was a good movie. I don't know. I've never seen it. I've seen it appear on Netflix and Hulu and other streaming, you know, services like that. But I've never been compelled to watch 10 Things I Hate About You. But I thought, what a great title if you turn it around. 10 Things I Love About You. And I said, if I ever speak on the subject and on the chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, there's my title. 10 Things I Love About You. This weekend, we're going to ask you to make a list of the things that you love about your spouse. Now, some of you, that's going to be an easy thing to do. You can come up with a list of 4 or 5 things, maybe 10, 15, or 20 things. For others of you, it may be a bit of a struggle. But we're going to encourage you to make a list of the things that you love about your spouse. Better yet, we're going to encourage you to become the kind of person in character and in practice that is worthy of your love of your spouse saying, I love these things about you. You may remember the famous poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning. She's famous for these words, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. We're going to count the ways this weekend. And we're going to find some help from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, we found more than 10 things I love about you. We found 14. And so we've titled our teaching time over the next couple of days, 14 Things I Love About You from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the chapter we just read. It's the great love chapter, isn't it? Everybody knows 1 Corinthians 13. Not just inside the church, but outside the church. It's not only one of the great chapters in the Bible. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. Maybe Psalm 23, I mean, maybe some other, you know, favorite section of scripture. It doesn't get any better than 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Inside the Bible, inside the church, it doesn't get any better than 1 Corinthians 13 in all of literature. Even the world recognizes this as something special. In fact, so special that I suspect that some of you actually had, as Catherine said, 1 Corinthians 13 read at your wedding ceremony. How many of you had it read at your wedding ceremony? How many of you can't remember what happened at your wedding ceremony? Okay, we're just keeping it real, right? That's all right. That's all right. Chances are somebody stood up and read 1 Corinthians 13, at least verses 4 through 7. And I love Catherine's analogy about putting a microscope, a 3x magnification microscope, over our marriages. And we're going to do that via 1 Corinthians 13. You may think you know 1 Corinthians 13. You may go, oh, yeah, I heard that before, read it a number of times. But have you read it with a magnifying glass? You see, we find 14 things 14 character qualities of divine love in 1 Corinthians 13 that when we slow it down and when we magnify each one of them, let me tell you what my response is to all of this, as we've been studying through this. I'm a bad lover. I don't even come close to measuring up to this, okay? So, you know, you may be sitting here saying, I know everything there is to know about 1 Corinthians 13. But strap on your seatbelts, because we've been through some of this as we've studied it and processed it and, you know, talked about it even
in our
own
marriage.
We've
already had kind of a mini marriage seminar just in planning this and in going away and talking about times when we're patient or when kind or when we're not patient and we're not kind. So we've already had a whole seminar just ourselves in the coffee shop in Williamsburg. So if you happen to have seen us in there, oh yes, we were having our own marriage seminar.
We prepared in Williamsburg. We prepared in Chicago last weekend. We prepared this morning in Virginia Beach. I mean, we've been going over this for quite some time. I want you to notice something. We titled this 14 Things I Love About You. We did not title it 14 Things My Spouse Needs to Work On. Okay? I have to point that out. We have to point that out because I don't want to say we know you. We know us, all right? Mm-hmm. We know how often in a situation like this the elbows fly, or we begin to listen rather selectively, like, oh yeah, that's something my spouse needs to work on. Patience and kindness and not insisting on his own way or her way. Now, what I want us to focus on, what we ask you to focus on, is becoming the kind of person that when your spouse looks at you, he or she says, there are 14 things I love about my spouse. And at the end of the day, because he or she looks just like Jesus. Because you see, 1 Corinthians 13, at least verses 4 through 7, anytime you see the word love, you can insert the word Jesus. Jesus is patient and kind. Jesus does not envy or boast. He is not arrogant or rude. He does not insist on his own way. Jesus is not irritable or resentful. He does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but he rejoices with the truth. Jesus bears all things. Jesus believes all things. Jesus hopes all things. Jesus endures all things. And that's where we want to go, right? We're the kind of lovers, we're the kind of spouses where our love rises to the level of divine love. And we need some help in getting there, help that only the Holy Spirit can give to us. Let me put 1 Corinthians 13 in the context of Paul's larger letter. You know a little bit, perhaps, about the church in Corinth 2,000 years ago. It's a pretty messed up church, largely because, unlike the church in Jerusalem, they didn't come out of centuries of Judaism where they kind of knew how to walk with God and all that. No, a lot of these people, you know, were coming out of paganism. And all of this was new to them. And so they were just kind of messed up. They were messed up about things like spiritual gifts. And they weren't acting in love toward each other. It's significant to see that 1 Corinthians 13 in the context here is between chapters 12 and 14. The two chapters where Paul talks about how to exercise your spiritual gifts. And they had gotten so twisted up around that particular issue in the church at Corinth, they stopped acting in a loving way to one another. And so keep that in mind. We like to take 1 Corinthians 13 and pull it out of its context and make it all about marriage. It really wasn't all about marriage. It applies to marriage wonderfully. But it was really about how people in the body of Christ relate to one another in a divine kind of way. Paul says in the first three verses, and I won't read them again, but he says in a very significant way that the highest and most supreme ethic, the highest and most supreme ethic in the Christian life and in Christian marriage is love. It's that little four-letter word, L-O-V-E, that we think we know all about, right? That the world has taken and twisted and perverted And 1 Corinthians 13 brings us back to a divine expression that is really out of this world. Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers, and he goes on and on and on to kind of land on those spiritual gifts that the Corinthians thought were so important. He says, you can have all of that, but if you don't have love, you're nothing but a lot of noise. You're a bag of wind. And he elevates the supreme ethic. Jesus does the same thing in John chapter 15, verses 34 and 35. He says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The supreme mark on the life of a Christian and in the life of a Christian marriage is that we love like the world doesn't know love. And you can take all of that and put it into a little formula that we'll remember this weekend, and that is everything minus love equals nothing. That's Paul's teaching in the first three verses there before he ever gets to the love is patient, the love is kind, and all the 14 things there. Before we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though, I want to put it in a larger context and talk about your big fat Greek marriage, all right? Can we do that? Catherine and I believe that every one of us, as followers of Jesus Christ, need to have a big fat Greek marriage. What do we mean by that? Well, there are four words in the Greek New Testament that are translated love. And you may have heard this before, maybe this is not new to you, but this part was a kind of a fresh insight for us, and that is the idea that in a healthy marriage and in a Christian marriage, all four of these loves need to find their expression, okay? The first word is eros. Eros refers to sensual or romantic love. You can see the word erotic in there, all right? For some people in this world, that's the only kind of love they know. It's the perverted form of erotic love, right? And interestingly enough, the word eros never appears in the New Testament. But we have an expression of sensual, romantic, erotic, sexual love pictured in the Old Testament book, the Song of Solomon, right? It is God's handbook on love, marriage, sex, and relationships, Song of Solomon is. And the writer of Hebrews also tells us that the marriage bed is to be honorable. God gave us the gift of sex and erotic love and put it in the context of marriage. That is something to be celebrated. It is something to be enjoyed. The world and the devil and the flesh takes it and perverts it and makes it something dirty and gross and all of that. But that expression of love is very much a part of the marriage relationship and is to be celebrated and explored and enjoyed by married couples. But there are some other words here too.
Storge, that is your family love or familial love. That's love that you have between a parent and a child, love you have between cousins, maybe extended family, but that is our family love. The next one is philia. Philia, which means brotherly love. Think of the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Ron and I, as you guys know, I do call him Ronnie, so full disclosure, it's going to come out, and here it goes. So Ronnie and I dated for 3 years before we ever started dating, and Ronnie and I were best friends for 3 years before we started dating. So we had that best friend type of love for 3 years. Also, if you think of just for philia, the brother-sister, the city of brotherly love. Yeah.
And you know, philia also refers to us as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's that friendship love. Maybe you married your best friend. Hopefully you did. And hopefully you've remained best friends, right? I always said, there's nobody I'd rather hang out with than Catherine. I mean, she really is my best friend. And we were hanging buds, you know, years ago, decades ago now. Good grief. Decades ago.
Whoa.
We were hanging
Whoa.
Buds.
Whoa.
you know, and we're still hanging buds. And we love to do that.
What was the gift driving down here? Just spending that hour with your best friend is just a gift. So you've already had a gift. You got to spend that hour with your best friend in a drive down here.
And then the last one, obviously, is that uniquely Christian word, agape. Agape. And it means divine love. It's an unconditional love. Now, again, the unique insight, and I've never heard this before, but the idea that all four of these need to find expression in the marriage relationship at the same time, okay? I mean, it's kind of an organic thing that happens. You don't go from one stage to the next, but every one of these expressions of love need to be found. That's the big fat Greek marriage, right? Do you have a big fat Greek marriage where you can look into your marriage and find every one of these expressions of love from the Greek language in your marriage relationship? Now, the reason we go down that road is because, as you might guess, 1 Corinthians 13, every time the word love appears, it's agape. It's divine love. And what that tells me is, again, as I said earlier, I look at the list, I put the magnifying glass over this, I spend some time meditating as we have upon these 14 things, these 14 divine characteristics of love that are perfectly expressed in Jesus, and I say, I'm not a very good lover. I've got some work to do. So you may be here, maybe you've been married 50, 60 years, maybe you've been married 20 years or 30 years, and you say, we've got a great marriage, all right? Every one of us has room to grow in agape love. Most people, especially an unbeliever who's never come to faith in Christ, they'll never achieve the kind of love that is found in 1 Corinthians 13. You can only get there on this side of the cross when you're in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ and when you're in step and in stride with the Holy Spirit. Because we're going to link a lot of this to Galatians chapter 5, where it says the fruit of the Spirit is, and don't be surprised that you won't find a number of these 14 characteristics in that list of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is first, love. And it's an agape love. It takes the enabling resources of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer who is in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ to achieve agape love, to live this out in a way that your spouse and my spouse can look at us and say, here are 14 things I love about you because I see Jesus Christ in you. That's where we're going tonight and over, most of the day tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Okay. So with that as a setup, let's tackle two of the 14 things tonight, all right, with the time that we have remaining. As we go into this, keep in mind that of these 14 things, half of them, more than half of them, are stated in the negative. You know, love does not, love is not. We're always going to state them as a positive affirmation when we get to those, and you'll understand what we're talking about here. But let's slow it down. Let's magnify it. The first one says that love is patient. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. I can't really say it in a better way than this. I love that you are patient with me. Would your spouse look at you and say, I love that you are patient with me? Now, in the New Testament, there are two Greek words that are translated patient, and they're nuanced in a slightly different way. The first one is hypomone, and it refers to being patient in circumstances. James chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3 is a good place to go where James says, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various trials that are the testing of your faith and that are meant to produce hypomone in you, an endurance, an enduring patience in the midst of trials and in the midst of circumstances.
So Ron and I got to experience that this past year. So we got back from Israel, and all of a sudden, my shoulder did not work. I went to the doctor, and I could not lift my arm. And as time went on, I could not lift it less and less and less. And the diagnosis came back, and you have frozen shoulder. And I'm like, super, so what does that mean? And he's like, you're going to need to go to physical therapy, and they're going to move it daily till we can get it to move again. So 5 days a week, I'm at physical therapy. Now, the frustrating thing for this gal is to go to physical therapy when I can't comb my hair because my hands did not go to my head to comb my hair. So I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Well, my daughter is at school, right? So she's up in college. She's not in the house. I don't have anybody there that's a female to do my hair. So I look at Ron and I go, how good are you at doing hair? And Ron looks at me and goes, never have done it, because he didn't grow up with any sisters. And nonetheless, not just do my hair, but I needed him to like put it up, right, ladies? Like I needed it up in a ponytail. And to try to see Ron work with me to get my hair up in a ponytail, that's the definition of patience. Yeah, he needs to demonstrate it right now. He's pretty good at it. But it does come. That's where patience comes. He had to be patient with me. I had to be patient with the therapist in learning in those circumstances how it will work. You will get movement back in your shoulder, but it's just going to take time. So the good news is now I can do my own hair, so we're all good now.
She always looks good, but she looks better when she can do it, right? Some of you are going through a hard set of circumstances right now. And expressing love by being patient toward one another in circumstances you might not have chosen, or that, you know, you might be in because one of you did something that, you know, got you into a situation. Okay, love is patient. Love is patient when the trials of life come, all right? You know, most of us have been married long enough, and even if you've been married just a year or two, you know that life is hard. Life is hard. Choose joy. Endure circumstances and hardship, and be patient with one another in those circumstances. The second word that we find in the New Testament is macrothymia, and it has to do with being patient toward a person. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6 talks about this as one of the character qualities of God, his patient long-suffering. If you have one of the older translations of the Bible, the King James talks about how God suffers long in the Old Testament. Exodus 34 and verse 6 says, "For the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord, the God, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.'" Again, the old translation talks about him being long-suffering. Long-suffering. It's why 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4 in the King James Version doesn't say love is patient. It says charity suffers long. All right? Turn to your spouse and say, I'm suffering long with you. All right? That's sometimes what it feels like. Now, of course, sometimes we need patience with one another because we're different, right? One is patient in circumstances, and you may be going through a hard set of circumstances right now that just requires a divine measure of patience with one another. We'll get through this, all right? Practice that with one another. We'll get through this. By God's grace, we will get through this. But sometimes we need to express a patience toward one another because we're just wired differently. We're made differently.
So this is a God design. This is not a sin characteristic or a sin habit that comes up. This is just the way you're designed. For Ron and me, this displays itself in that Ron takes change very easy. So if change comes about for Ron, he's like, great, because there's a great future ahead, and change is easy for Ron. Well, For this gal, change does not come near so easy. And we learned that very, very early on in this marriage, because Ron went to seminary in Texas, and he married a Texan who lived in Dallas, just a couple blocks from my parents. And we had been married about 6 months, and Ron said, we're moving to Houston, Texas.
That's a Texas city.
Now,
I mean, it's still in the promised land, right?
This is only 4 hours away. It really wasn't that far in the big scheme of things for this Texas girl that now lives in Virginia, right? This was a car ride away. But we packed up our U-Haul, and Ron drove the U-Haul, and my job was to drive the car. And I think he was strategic about this, because I got in the car, and I cried the entire 4 hours from Dallas to Houston, because change was going to be hard for me. Now, the ironic thing was, years later, when we're moving out of Houston, I cried again, because all my good friends were in Houston. But change sometimes does not come easy for this girl.
We've learned over the years, to put it another way, I'm the visionary, she's the day-to-day operations person. And she is great at, in a business setting or in our family life, of, you know, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, and handling the day-to-day things. I'm 6 months, 6 years down the road. I've already processed this, I've prayed about it. And I've learned, even in a church setting, as a visionary leader, by the time we bring something to the congregation, I have to be patient enough to let the congregation even catch up, because it's the first time you're hearing about all of this. I made some terrible mistakes early in my ministry, getting way too out front. Well, the dynamic in a marriage, when you have a visionary where change is an exciting thing, and a day-to-day operations person, again, it's not a character flaw in either one of us. It is the way God designed us, but it requires some patience. Me patiently bringing her along towards something, and her patiently, you know, dealing with all of that in me. And she's done a great job over the years patiently dealing with some situations when I've been out front too far. Love is patient. I love that you are patient with me, all right? Pretty simple one, pretty easy one. Let's go on to the next one. Love is also kind. I love that you are kind to me. And we're going to nuance these a little bit more as we go through 12 through 14, or 3 through 14, but you can't really improve much on these. I love that you are kind to me. There was an article by a lady named Emily Smith, who wrote in The Atlantic, and she says, kindness, as simple as it sounds, kindness glues couples together. Kindness has been found by researchers to be the most important predictor of satisfaction and stability in a marriage. That's a huge statement. Just the simple gesture, either through your words or through your actions, of being kind to one another. Reminds me of something that one of my favorite theologians sang, Elvis Presley, don't be cruel, right? Love me tender. Just be kind. Kill one another with kindness.
And it's something that we say to our kids, right? For those of you who have children, we are always telling them, be kind, use kind words. But then as adults, sometimes that's not the first thing that comes out. So just a little reminder that I used to say to my kids, that now comes up even in marriage conference, is before you speak, think. And the T is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind?
That's simple and memorable, an acronym, THINK, but it gets down to the kindness thing. Other than Elvis, let me update it a little bit. What does Taylor Swift sing? Why you gotta be so mean? That's a great question, all right? Catherine and I learned many, many years ago in some of our premarital counseling, my mate is not my enemy. And sometimes, you know, we've had to gently turn to one another and say, you know, why you gotta be so mean? all right? We inside the context of our marriage, we need kindness. Ephesians 4 and verse 32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." I've been using this text at the marriage altar more often than not when I unite a bride and a groom in marriage. They're not going to remember much that the pastor says, but I married a couple in our church family last fall, and my little homily during the ceremony was simply this. Ephesians 4:32, I just have three words for you to remember: kindness, tenderness, and forgiveness. And we just talked a little bit about that. We did some post-marital counseling for them because he was deployed and we couldn't get to the premarital counseling, and they're now in Mississippi, and we did this by a video conference platform. And this was months later, and I asked him, do you remember anything about the ceremony? Do you remember what I said? Oh, yes, kindness, tenderness, forgiveness. My mother keeps reminding me of those three things. That's the first time a bride and groom has ever said to me they remembered anything that I said at the wedding altar. You didn't even remember somebody read 1 Corinthians 13, right? But remember this. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Elvis sang, "Love me tender." Okay? Some of you guys are in the military. What she needs from you is a tender warrior, a kind and tender-hearted warrior. Stu Weber wrote a book years ago. Stu was he's a pastor on the West Coast. He's a former Army Ranger. He wrote a book toward men titled Tender Warrior. What a combination there, all right?
Our marriages are like bank accounts. We do daily deposits and daily withdrawals. Our kind words and actions are like credits that are going in, and our harsh words and actions are like debits that are coming out. And over the years in your marriage, that bank account balance is going to fluctuate, right? Sometimes that bank balance is pretty high and your marriage is really running good. And other times that bank balance gets dangerously low. And that's usually when that couple is in front of Ron and me for some intensive marriage counseling. So my question to you today is just, what is your marriage account balance? Where are you? So if you look in your notes, you'll have a kindness quiz. There are some things that you will notice in your notes that we want you guys to do. So the kindness quiz is for you guys to do later on. I want you to rate yourself, and I want you to rate your spouse. And then there's also some discussion questions down below. So you guys have homework. Aren't you excited? So these are conversations that I want you to have as a couple, to spend some time and to discuss about and just have a chance to dialogue about some things. So do your kindness quiz and do your discussion questions.
And just remember, I love that you are patient with me. I love that you are kind to me. As simple and as no duh as that sounds, put a magnifier over it. Talk about it. Take the quiz, as Catherine says. Engage in the discussion questions. This is the time to do it. You're making an investment in your marriage, and you want to be able to say at the end of our time together, there are 14 things I love about you because I see Jesus in you. That's where we want to put a period for tonight. Let me pray for us, and then we got a couple things to wrap up that Scott's going to help with, and then we'll get after it more in the morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening, and thank you for showing us through your son Jesus and through your divine character what love really looks like. And Father, we have much room to grow, every one of us in this room, just in the patience that we give to one another and express to one another, and even in the kind words and actions that we speak to one another. Let it never be said of us or between us, why you gotta be so mean. But maybe we'd be kind and tender, forgiving toward one another. Father, we love you because you first loved us, and you showed us what that love is all about. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Ron Jones. For a complete list of resources available from Ron's ministry, visit somethinggoodradio.org.
Tender-hearted. Elvis sang, "Love Me Tender." Okay? Some of you guys are in the military. What she needs from you is a tender warrior, a kind and tender-hearted warrior. Stu Weber wrote a book years ago. Stu was he's a pastor on the West Coast. He's a former Army Ranger. He wrote a book toward men titled Tender Warrior. What a combination there. All right?
Our marriages are like bank accounts. We do daily deposits and daily withdrawals. Our kind words and actions are like credits that are going in, and our harsh words and actions are like debits that are coming out. And over the years in your marriage, that bank account balance is going to fluctuate, right? Sometimes that bank balance is pretty high and your marriage is really running good. And other times that bank balance gets dangerously low. And that's usually when that couple is in front of Ron and me for some intensive marriage counseling. So my question to you today is just, what is your marriage account balance? Where are you? So if you look in your notes, you'll have a kindness quiz. There are some things that you will notice in your notes that we want you guys to do. So the kindness quiz is for you guys to do later on. I want you to rate yourself and I want you to rate your spouse. And then there's also some discussion questions down below. So you guys have homework. Aren't you excited? So these are conversations that I want you to have as a couple, to spend some time and to discuss about and just have a chance to dialogue about some things. So do your kindness quiz and do your discussion questions.
And just remember, I love that you are patient with me. I love that you are kind to me. As simple and as no duh as that sounds, put a magnifier over it. Talk about it. Take the quiz, as Catherine says. Engage in the discussion questions. This is the time to do it. You're making an investment in your marriage. And you want to be able to say at the end of our time together, there are 14 things I love about you because I see Jesus in you. That's where we want to put a period for tonight. Let me pray for us, and then we got a couple things to wrap up that Scott's going to help with, and then we'll get after it more in the morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening, and thank you for showing us through your Son Jesus and through your divine character what love really looks like. And Father, we have much room to grow, every one of us in this room, just in the patience that we give to one another and express to one another, and even in the kind words and actions that we speak to one another. Let it never be said of us or between us, why you got to be so mean, but maybe we be kind and tender, forgiving toward one another. Father, we love you because you first loved us, and you showed us what that love is all about. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.